We need to turn to God's word. That's at the heart of what we do. We must listen to his voice as we gather together. And we're going to do that this morning by coming to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 12. If you need a Bible, please raise a hand. One of our welcome team will love to bring you one. Anyone need a Bible? Great. Matthew chapter 4. If you're visiting us this morning, then it's worth just explaining that our habit as a church family is to work our way through books of the Bible. God gave us books of the Bible. He gave us them in an order, and therefore we simply want to go through them in the order that he's given them to us. And this is where we've got to this morning in our journey through Matthew's Gospel. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 12. When Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he returned to Galilee. Leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum, which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way to the sea along the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." This is God's word to us this morning. We're going to stand. Let's pray, shall we, as we stand. Father, we've made our request as we've sung to you. And we simply pray this morning that you would show us Christ, that we would see something of his glory, of his greatness, that we would be leaving here this morning in awe of his kindness, and that we might be increasingly drawn to him as the one we need. Father, please, would your word be food for famished souls today? Please, would it make the simple wise? And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please sit yourselves down. I'd love you to have your Bible open again, if you've got one in front of you, to Matthew chapter 4. We will be referring lots to this story in front of us. Matthew chapter 4, you'll find that page 968 if you've shut your Bibles. And I really just want to begin by asking you probably what will seem quite a strange question to some of you this morning. Are you more like a moth or a cockroach? Are you more like a moth or a cockroach? Because I want to tell you this morning, some people are looking at me really funny right now. I thought we'd come to listen to the Bible. The reason I ask that question is, actually, what I want to tell you this morning is that this little story, and it's only a few verses we've got today, but this little story, this quote from Isaiah, what it's telling us about Jesus is urging us today to be more like a moth than a cockroach. Now, I probably need to explain what I mean. If you know anything about moths, you'll know that a moth is drawn to light. So if it's a dark room and we were to burst in and flick on a light and there's moths in there, what would they do? They would turn from wherever they are and they would flutter towards the light. That's what a moth does. It flies to the light. It flutters to the light. It goes and finds light. If you want to test it, just leave a window open next summer and turn a light on in your room. You'll soon discover that this is true. Moths fly to the light. But cockroaches, on the other hand, they run from the light. Horrible little creatures. But if you go into a room and they're scuttling around and you turn on a light, what happens? Cockroaches just, whoo, they run to the edges. They run and they find darkness. They try and hide from the light. And I simply want to show you this morning that this part of the Bible, this little quote from Isaiah, these words of Jesus himself, are urging us to be more like a moth than a cockroach, to be people who turn to the light rather than run away from it. In fact, actually, I'd go further this morning and say it's not just me urging you to do this. It is Jesus himself as we listen into what he has to say. So will you look with me just verse 17? Let's just start at the end. I know that's a bit backwards, but verse 17, from that time on, Jesus, this Jesus we've spent weeks building this picture of, this Jesus who's connected to the royal family, son of Abraham, son of David, the one who's come into the world to rescue us from sins, this Jesus stands up and he begins to preach. And what does he say? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Repent means turn. He is urging people to turn. Turn, as we're going to see through this morning, from darkness and turn to light. Be a moth. Flutter to the light. Don't be a cockroach and run away from it. And what is this light that he wants us to run towards? What is the light that he wants us to fly and flutter towards and the darkness that he wants us to leave behind? What is it? Well, that light is Jesus himself. Jesus is the light that we are to fly towards, turn towards, run towards, rather than flee from. So just follow the story with me quickly. As Jesus enters Capernaum in verse 13, he moves out of Nazareth, his hometown, he moves to Capernaum. Matthew wants us to see that in doing this, Jesus is kind of filling up, bringing to fruition another big Old Testament promise. It's the promise we've got recorded for us in verse 15. The promise of a prophet Isaiah, land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way to the sea along the Jordan, Galilee to the Gentiles. The people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. As Jesus comes from Nazareth to Capernaum, And he starts to preach, he is saying, as Matthew wants us to see, that he is the light that is dawning in this dark land. He is the light that is kind of, I don't know if you've ever seen a dawn. I know some of you under about the age of 20 probably never have. You probably don't even know there's 2 6 o'clocks in a day. But there's this idea that this sun rises. It's just this glimmer of light on the horizon. This bulge of light appears. And then it rises and it becomes day. And Matthew wants us to see that Jesus is coming, Jesus entering the world, Jesus coming to preach is like dawn, the bulging of light. Suddenly there's some glimmer of light into the darkness. You see, the people of verse 16 are described as those living in darkness, living under the shadow of death. And Jesus, this great light, dawns into the darkness. He dawns into our world. And what does he say? Repent. Turn. Turn from the darkness and turn to the light. Turn to me. Be a moth, not a cockroach. And this morning, what I simply want to do using this story, if that's what's going on, if it's urging us to turn to Jesus, to repent and turn from darkness towards Jesus, then I just want to give you 3 reasons this morning why we should do that. I want to give you 3 reasons why you should turn from darkness to light, why you should turn towards Jesus, why you should be a moth this morning and not a cockroach. And the first reason is very simple. It is this. Turn to Jesus, the light, because we live in darkness. We live in darkness. I'm not going to have to work very hard this morning to convince you that we live in a broken world. Darkness is often a metaphor, isn't it, for brokenness? You hear people say things like, you know, these are dark days, or these are dark times that we live in. Well, I won't have to convince you that there's the brokenness of sickness. There's the brokenness of death itself. There is the brokenness of fighting and deception and greed and family breakdowns and the evil that exists within our own hearts. It's everywhere, isn't it? Darkness is everywhere. And I think there's not a single one of us in this room who in some kind of way will not feel the darkness pressing in at points, the darkness of our world. And what is this darkness that we feel? What is this darkness that we live in? What is this darkness of the shadow of death that looms over us? Well, it's the darkness of living under the judgment of God and its effects on our world. It's the darkness of living in a world where people choose to ignore the light of God's word. That is the darkness we live in. That is the way that we could describe our world, what we feel and live in every day. And that's what this story helps us to see. I want you to look down again at just verse 16, because this is the darkness being described in verse 16, the darkness of God's judgment and the darkness of ignoring God's words. So you look with me at verse 16. The people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. Now you're going to have to work quite hard with me, okay? Because we've got to understand something about this land of Zebulun and Naphtali to get what is going on here. This land of Zebulun and Naphtali, how are they described? They're described as a land living in darkness. A land living under the shadow of death. This land of Zebulun and Naphtali is actually quite significant because I want to suggest this morning that in many, it captures something that is true about the whole world, the world we live in. It's kind of a microcosm of Enfield, of our world, of our place that we live. If we were to go back and we were to read this quote from Isaiah, what we would discover is this. That this land of Zebulun and Naphtali was the very first people in Israel to experience the judgment of God as he sent this big army against them because of their wickedness. Land of Zebulun and Naphtali were those who kind of most acutely felt the force and the darkness of God's judgment against their wickedness. The whole of the people of God had ignored God's word, but this land, the northern two tribes, experienced it most. So when you're hearing this, you think these are the people who understand what it is to live in darkness. And as you journey on from Isaiah's day to Jesus' day, this was still the land that was feeling the most the impact and the effect of God's judgment. They were still reeling from it. They still felt it every day. And as the nation of Assyria invaded them, they truly felt the darkness of God's judgment against the ignoring of his words. As people were carried off to exile, as people were killed, their land was destroyed, and people were carried off to exile. And in the days that Jesus lived in, this was still what they were known for. This land that experienced the judgment of God first, this land that was reeling, living in darkness because of the impact of God's judgment upon them. And not only did they feel the darkness of God's judgment against them, but they also felt the darkness because this was a land notorious for choosing to ignore God's words. See, if we were to go back to Isaiah, these quotes are always very significant. Okay, I just want to kind of give you a heads up for that as we look at these things. When Matthew quotes the Old Testament, he wants you to see something pretty big. And here it says back in Isaiah that this was a people, because they ignored God's word, they had no light of dawn. Because they ignored what God had to say to them, his laws, his testimony, his commands, they had no light of dawn. They lived in darkness. The land of Zebulun and Naphtali captures something, I think, about our world that we live in today. We live in a world that is reeling and feeling the effects of God's judgment. If we were to rewind our world far enough, we would discover, as we get back to Genesis 3 in the Bible, that our world is under the judgment of God. As Adam and Eve chose to ignore the light of God's word, as they turned from the light, as it were, to darkness, our world entered darkness. Our world was broken. Death entered the world. Sickness entered the world. People's broken relationships started to occur. The very next story is one of murder. Adam and Eve, there was a battle of relationships. There was just everything going on as a result of judgment. We live in darkness. We live in a world right now when you say, well, what's wrong with it? It's because we live under the effects. We feel the darkness of being under the judgment of God. But it's also a world, isn't it, where we have ignored God's word. What is the darkness we feel when people get angry with us? What is the darkness we feel when people choose to do things that the Bible says are wrong? It is the darkness of just ignoring what God has to say. And so, friends, we live in a world of darkness. We really do. I'm not just trying to be bleak and grim, but we've got to face up to this reality. We are the people living in darkness. We're living under the shadow of death. We are people living in a world where God's word is ignored. And given that that's true, and if you feel anything of that this morning, then can I ask you, well, why wouldn't you turn to Jesus? Why wouldn't you turn to him who is the light? Why wouldn't you be a moth rather than a cockroach? See, look again at verse 16. Jesus comes as a great light. He comes as a dawn. Like a dawn appearing on the horizon, Jesus comes and he brings light. What is the light? He says there's a way out of judgment. There's a way out of the darkness of judgment against our sins, against our ignoring of his words. What is the light Jesus brings into the world? It is the light of God's word. Here they are for years. They've ignored and ignored and ignored God's words. And then Jesus comes on and he says, here's a word from God. Here's some light for you into your darkness. Listen to me. Jesus comes, he brings light, the light of escape from judgment and the light of his word that tells us how to escape. It's a dawn. When Jesus comes, it's a dawn in the darkness. And there's still darkness going on. We still have this light. And we are being urged this morning to turn to Jesus, because where else in our dark world are we going to find escape from darkness? Other than in the light that Jesus brings, the light of his word, the light of his salvation that he came to bring, this way out. Friends, can I urge you to be a moth perhaps for the first time this morning? If you feel anything of the darkness, then turn to Jesus. He is the one who's got the way out. He is the one who's got light in this dark world that we live in. But if you've already turned to Jesus, can I say to you, keep turning to Jesus. As the darkness, we still feel it. It's not daytime yet. That's coming when Jesus returns and the day will gloriously shine. We still live in darkness, but there is light. And we've got to keep going to the light. We've got to keep listening to Jesus. So turn to Jesus, because we live in darkness. That's one reason you've got to turn to him. Be a moth. Second reason is this. Let me urge you this morning to turn to Jesus, the light, because he first turned to us. Many of you will remember that rather dramatic scene when the 33 Chilean miners got trapped underground for that long period of time. It was a very dramatic rescue, wasn't it? Trapped in the darkness, trapped underground. And they had to drill down into the darkness, into the depths, so that they might lift these miners out. People had to go to them to set them free, to lift them out into the light of day. And I want us to see something about this story, which I think is pretty amazing, really. Which is, I think what happened with those Chilean miners, this drilling down right into the darkness, is a really powerful picture that is being portrayed to us in this story about what Jesus came to do. See, look with me at verse 13. Leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum, which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali. Jesus, the royal son of heaven, the one who perfectly lived in the light of God's word. That's the story we did last week. He was living in the light. He was living, not ignoring God's words. The one who does not deserve the darkness and the death of judgment. What does he do? Well, this may seem insignificant, but actually I think it's a deeply significant detail. Look at the pattern. He leaves his home in Nazareth, And he moves to Capernaum. He comes, he lives, he dwells, so that he might be a light dawning for them. Jesus, in all his perfection, leaves his home and he moves right into the epicenter of the darkness in order to bring them light. He drills down into the mine, into the depths, that he might bring them the light of life. See, what are we being shown about Jesus? Friends, I think we're being shown the compassion of Jesus. See, what could Jesus have done as he looked on our darkness, as he looked on that those who would ignore his words? Well, Jesus could have said, well, I'm going to leave you to your darkness. That's what you deserve. You've chosen to turn from me. But what does he do? He moves into the very epicenter of darkness, and he dwells among them to bring them light. And friends, I hope you can see just in these little actions of Jesus moving into this land of Zebulun and Naphtali that was considered this place of great darkness, I hope you can see something of the bigger story of Jesus here. That Jesus left his home. He left his home in heaven, in the light of heaven, as it were. And what did he do? He came and he dwelt and he lived where? In the darkness. In our world, which is under the judgment of God, a world that was ignoring God's world, and he came to us. He turned to us, even though we turned from him. Why did he do it? Because he knew that the only way that he could rescue us from the darkness was by drilling down into our darkness and lifting us up to the light of life. He needed to come near to drill down to save us. Ultimately, this is a rescue journey that would take him to the most darkest of places. See, just think again, just this movement of Jesus, Nazareth to Capernaum, this place of great darkness. He sets up home there that he might be light. But how much of this darkness will Jesus have to enter to save us? Well, as Jesus goes to the cross, he endures the darkness of God's judgment against my sin. At the cross, Jesus entered the darkness of death. For 3 hours on the cross, many of you will remember this detail of the cross story. But for 3 hours, it went dark. Why? Because Jesus was entering the darkness of God's judgment against my sin. Why? So that he could lift me out of the mine of my mess and bring me into the light of life, bring me into a place where I'm free from God's judgment. Jesus entered the darkness. He lived in the shadow of death. And friends, one of the reasons I'm urging you to turn to Jesus is here is someone who first turned to us. Here is someone who in compassion and love turns to us in our mess, turns to people who cannot help themselves, trapped in the darkness of a mine. And he turns to us so that we might be able to turn to him. Written even into the geography, and I know that sounds crazy, even into the geography of this story, is the deep compassion and what I would call the first move love of Jesus to sinners like us. He takes that step. He steps into the darkness to bring us into light. And so can I urge you this morning, be a moth. Turn to Jesus because he first turned to you. He first came to us. Turn to Jesus as the one who first, as it were, drilled down into that mind to lift you to the light of life. Turn to the one who endured the darkness of God's judgment at the cross so that you won't ever have to face that kind of darkness again. And can I say to you again, if that's for the first time this morning, then please turn to Jesus because he turned to you, because he loved you enough to come into this world and save you. But if you have done it, then keep turning to Jesus. It's not that we stop turning to Jesus. We keep turning to Jesus because in all the brokenness, in all the darkness of our world, which we will be feeling in all sorts of ways, this truth reminds us that Jesus is the compassionate one. He's the one who gets our darkness. We can't sit here this morning and say, Jesus, you don't know what it's like to live in this darkness. It's all right for you sitting up there in heaven where everything's good, but what about me down here? Turn to Jesus because he's the one who gets your darkness. He lived in our darkness. He came and dwelt at the very epicenter of this world. He knows what it is to weep at the grave of a friend. He knows what it is to encounter the sickness of people around him. He knows what it is to live in a world where people fight and ignore God's words. Jesus gets the darkness. And so turn to him and keep turning to him. Keep being a moth because he first turned to us. He gets it. He's lived here. He knows what it's like. So turn to him. Turn to Jesus. And third, let me give you a third reason why we should turn to Jesus. Jesus calls you to turn to him. Look with me at verse 17. And from that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." So if you followed with me, here he is. He moves from Nazareth, moves into Capernaum, to this place of great darkness. And what does he do? Maybe you'd expect some kind of big firework display. No, he preaches. He preaches. Because preaching is the way that he calls people out of darkness into light. And with the kids, some of you will remember this, but with the kids a couple of weeks ago, we did an all-age service and we thought about this word repentance. Some of you are looking very blankly at me. But it's one word, but two actions. Do any of you remember that? We did that with the kids. One word, two actions. It means to turn from something and it means to turn to something else. And what is Jesus urging people to do as he calls, as he comes and he preaches, repent? He says, well, turn from darkness. Turn from the darkness of this world that's experiencing judgment. Turn from the darkness of ignoring God's word and turn to Jesus. Turn to light. Turn to the one who brings God's words to us. Turn to the one who can save us from judgment, the shadow of death. Turn to Jesus. And that the way that he calls people is by preaching to them. You know, why do we give so much weight to preaching at church? You ever thought about that? Because it's the way Jesus is still calling people out of darkness into light. It was the way Jesus did it when he was here on earth, and it's the way that he's doing it today. As words are spoken, as people are called to turn. Turn from darkness. Turn to the light. Even this morning, even as we look at this story, even as you hear these words of Jesus, repent. Maybe Jesus is calling you to turn from darkness, to turn from ignoring God's word, and to turn to Jesus, the light. To find light of being free from the judgment that we deserve. To find the light of God's word for your life, to tell you how to live and to be and what's right. Turn. And friends, it's through the preaching of God's word that Jesus continually calls us to repent. Even this week, there have been temptations and ways in my life that I have scurried off to the darkness. But actually, it's the word of Jesus. It's the preaching of his word. It is the reading of his word that calls us back. He calls us. So don't ignore his voice. Turn to Jesus this morning because he calls you to himself. It's very specific. It's very personal. He calls you. Repent. There are plenty of people living in Capernaum who heard that word. Repent. And they turned from their darkness and they turned to Jesus. And that's still what he's doing today. So I come back to where I started. Are you more like a moth or a cockroach? Hopefully that makes a little bit more sense now. Are you more like a moth or a cockroach? I want to urge you today to be a moth. Jesus urges you to be a moth and to keep being a moth. We live in darkness. We live in a world that is broken. And where are we going to do? Where are we going to turn? We've got to turn to Jesus, the light that has dawned, the light of salvation, the light of his word. Turn to him. Let's pray together, shall we? God, our Father in heaven, we recognize that the darkness we live in is not just other people's fault, but it is our own. Father, we are people who rightly deserve the darkness of your judgments. We are people who have chosen to live in the darkness of ignoring your words. And Father, we are sorry. And Father, we want to thank you that in compassion, you didn't leave us in the depths of our darkness, but you sent Jesus into this world as a light to save us from judgment, a light to lead us to salvation as a light of your word. And we pray, Father, that we would be those this morning that fly to Jesus rather than run from him. Father, please would we listen to what he has to say continually. Please would we constantly be turning from darkness to him, the light. Father, please would you help us to do that even this week. Father, please would we find the hope of the light that he gives into the helplessness of our dark world. And we ask it in his name. Amen.